Welcome to Get Your Spirit in Shape, United Methodist Communications and UMC.org's podcast to help us keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. I'm Joy Avino. At the recent 2020 award ceremony for the United Methodist Association of Communicators, Todd Seifert won Best in Audio Class for his podcast In Layman's Terms. It's quite an honor to win that award, and well-deserved for Todd and his podcast. In this episode, I'm talking to Todd about In Layman's Terms, what drew him to this type of podcast, and his work as the communicator of the Great Plains Conference of the United Methodist Church. Todd, welcome to Get Your Spirit in Shape.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
You have a new podcast called In Layman's Terms. Tell me about the podcast.
Yeah, so it started off as a means of sharing information about the Great Plains Conference with the people of Kansas and Nebraska. We actually launched three in our conference at the same time. One that is basically the audio of a webcast that we do in our studio. It's called Harvesting the Great Plains. Then we have another one that's called Potluck that is just what it sounds like. It's a potpourri of different things. Sometimes it's news, sometimes it's personalities. And In Layman's Terms is meant to focus on discipleship. And so we have a story each month, at least one story a month, sometimes it's more than that, of people who are doing things or churches that are doing things in the Great Plains that really are reaching beyond the walls of the church. They might be stories that detail fresh expressions that churches are doing. We have a program that we're doing right now with through Phil Maynard and his group, Readiness 360. So stories that come out of those efforts. Or sometimes it's just churches that are doing some really great things, or individuals who are doing some really great things, being the hands and feet of Christ in their communities. So we do that at least once a month. Oftentimes it's more than that. And I fill in the other weeks with just short little Bible reflections. I just got done doing something about parables for a few weeks, explaining what those mean for people. And those are told from the standpoint of if somebody has never studied the Bible before, if they've studied it and didn't understand it, or if they've just been away from it for a while and want a refresher, it's a way of helping them kind of ease back into Scripture.
That's a wonderful, it very much matches with what we do here on Get Your Spirit in Shape and helping people develop their discipleship. What grew you into the podcasting and what led you towards this style?
Well, so I'm a real media mutt. I was a print person. When I came to the Great Plains, I had to learn how to shoot video. And then because we are a conference of two states and 166,000 square miles, I'm in the car a lot.
Wow.
And I just I got tired of singing along to the tunes that I have on my phone. And so I talked to Reverend Ashley Alley Crawford, who is one of our staff folks who works with clergy development and recruitment. And she's a podcast person. And so she just said, you know, here's some podcasts that I really enjoy that help me pass the time and I learn something while I'm doing it. And so I got hooked on podcasts right away. And I mean, it's all over the map. My podcast subscriptions, there's no way I could listen to all of them. But it got me to thinking, you know, this is a different way of reaching people. And the more I talked to people, I bounced the idea for probably 2 or 3 months everywhere I went. I would talk to folks and just say, hey, you know, what do you think about? How would you like to get news and information? How would you like to learn more about scripture if that was available? And how would you like to learn about the stories about things that are going on in our conference? And a lot of folks told me, hey, I listen to podcasts. That's what they said. And so I thought, okay, I need to learn this beyond just being a consumer and really enjoying it for myself. And so we just kind of dove in. I had a boss one time that told me, you don't want to go over Niagara Falls. You want to take things in short bits. And I kind of jumped off the falls with this one. But it's been a great experience. You know, the more that we do, the more that I hear from people, the feedback has been really positive. And it's been kind of a steadily growing audience. It's still not huge. I mean, I get a couple hundred downloads each episode. But you know, it's 200 more people that are hearing things about stories of churches doing really great things in this area of the country than what we're hearing it before. And so that makes it pretty fulfilling.
That's a wonderful way to kind of get started. Tell me about some of the podcasts. What are some of the ones that you might recommend that were other kind of in the same vein of what you're trying to do that encouraged you along the way?
Sure. So, of course, you always want a really good one to start with. And as often happens, at least that I've noticed, is sometimes you fall into some things that are better than what you ever could have planned. We were planning a training event in Kansas, Nebraska last year. About this time, we were already starting to suffer from just horrendous flooding. And so that continued between flooding and tornadoes, even more so than normal, all the way through really the summer months last year. And we had a lot of clergy who were, you know, starting to frankly get fatigued because of the pastoral care that needed to go into all this, all these folks who are in these areas. And so one of our director of clergy excellence and I were going to go interview a pastor who had been in Greensburg, Kansas. If you aren't familiar with Greensburg, it was wiped out by a tornado. Now, it's been years and years ago, but this gentleman was going to be our person to kind of tell his story. I was just going there to be the videographer. I was just going to shoot the interview, and that was the end of it. But I kind of get caught up in the moment when we're talking with him, and it was amazing what he had to share and the story that he told. So it's all the way back in 2007, and so there's not a super time peg to it. But as we're talking to this pastor, he just tells this amazing story. His name's Terry Mayhew, and he gets a call from his district superintendent on the evening of May 4th at about 8:30 to say, hey, you know, we've decided we want to move you to Greensburg. And he says, all right, well, if that's what you need, that's what we'll do. An hour and a half later from him getting that phone call, the town's no longer on the map. The tornado took out the entire town.
Oh, my goodness.
And so he basically is in a rebuilding mode from the minute he starts his appointment. But he helped rebuild that church. He stayed there for, I believe it was 12 years. And rebuilt not just a church, but you could say a town. And so I thought, well, okay, here's the story. That'll help me. And then I also have done some things that help with evangelism. So there's one that I did about evangelism tools where I talked to a church in Nebraska that does a weekly Facebook Live with their pastor and one of their staff members. Church of the Resurrection, everybody knows who they are, in Kansas City. They have a really good email and especially email ministry. They do a lot of things well, but I talked to them specifically for their email ministry that they do. And then I talked to another church just related to their websites. And then I had an opportunity to talk to the Wilkie family down at the Institute for Discipleship at Southwestern College. We talked with them about just the Institute, the things that it does to help further the mission. And so those are three that have really kind of helped people understand that there are resources out there for them. There are some tools that they can use, and also to help them connect with people. So as they've heard some of these episodes, I know that they've reached out via email to some of the people we've had on there as guests just to get more information so they can kind of not necessarily copy what they're doing, but certainly take some of the better ideas and replicate them for their context of ministry. Here lately, it's been I've got a series that started last week, and it's going to go on for two more weeks, about culture of call. So one of them is about what we call the Madison Effect. It's based on a book by a gentleman named Gary Robbins, who's in a church here in Topeka, Kansas. And he wrote a book about a small church in Madison, Kansas, population 700, that have put 16 people into pastoral ministry. It's just about here's how this small church did it. And it's over the course of years. I mean, this goes back to 1920, so it's not like they were one group of 16 people. Over the course of generations, these folks have made it a very concerted effort to not only identify who might be a good pastor, but then to provide them with support, financial support, certainly prayer support, and just encouragement along the way. And so Gary Robbins wrote a book about that church and the things that they do really well that other churches could replicate. And so that's the latest episode that's on the website right now. And the next two episodes are about the concept of a culture of call.
Excellent. We love asking questions about call. If you listen to our bishop episodes, I ask bishops about calls to ministry. Anything you've learned about call that you would like to share?
The thing that I think I've learned the most in talking with the various people who are guests on those episodes is it really comes down to the lay of the local church being intentional about looking for people who have that type of skill and also providing support for people. So it isn't just a pastor identifying those folks. in almost every case, it was somebody in the congregation who identified it for that person. That, hey, I think you have this. I think you have this gift. I think you are meant to serve as a pastor. Yeah. And that is something that I think, unfortunately, in a lot of our churches has kind of gone by the wayside. We tend to think, well, we pay a pastor to do this kind of stuff. And not really. The pastor is supposed to be equipping people in the congregation, lay people, and lay people have a task to do. They have a job, and that job includes helping identify the next generation of the pastors. And too often we've been a little lax with that. So the next one with Reverend Ashley Alley Crawford, we talk a little bit about that, about the idea of how can churches help raise up other laity who are going to eventually go into either ordained ministry or just serving as disciples, right? I mean, that's our job. And so recognizing that even in a vocation, whether it be in law or in the health field or a teacher, custodians, it doesn't really matter who you are, we all have a role to play in identifying what our gifts and talents are so we can put those to use within the context of our vocation is very important, and it's overlooked by a lot of people.
I like your podcast title a lot. In layman's terms, how did you land on that, and what does it mean to you?
Well, it started actually as the title for my blog on the Great Plains website. And I had a column when I was an editor. And so I've always played around with titles. And that one just, I really don't know where it came from. I was jotting down stuff on a piece of paper. but about 3 or 4 years ago, I landed on that. So if you go to the Great Plains website and look under the blogs listing, anything that says in layman's terms, it means it's mine. And really, when we launched the blog, we just decided, okay, people already kind of identified my name with that title, and so let's just keep that in this different medium so that people would understand that, okay, that's one of Todd's items. And that way they can either go to it if they like it or they can avoid it if it's something that they don't want to have anything to do with. So, and for me, really, all that means is it's a little signal to people that this isn't an ordained clergy person. As a matter of fact, in the intro to In Layman's Terms, every episode, I make that little statement that I'm not ordained clergy, but I've studied the Bible extensively. I've taught Sunday school for ages anywhere from 12 years old all the way up to 90-somethings for 20 years. And so that weekly study of Scripture and preparing a lesson, I think what it does is it helps alleviate for whoever the pastor is that I'm at that church, that they don't have to worry about that one segment of the operation. They can focus on something else. And so hopefully it's a signal for people that, you know, lay people can do this. They don't have to rely on the pastor, and they don't have to burden the pastor. They too can help in this kind of service.
You mentioned also that you've been in teaching ministry for a long time. You've enjoyed studying Scripture. Did you ever consider becoming a clergy person?
So I grew up Baptist. And the joke in our youth group was I was going to be the pastor. I was going to be the one that went to, you know, grew up and did that. But, you know, I just didn't get that kind of encouragement from adults. If I had grown up in the United Methodist Church, I might have had that opportunity. Hmm. But other than my peers saying that, I never heard an adult say that. Hmm. Whereas in United Methodist churches, I have heard people openly talk about those things with youth. So I immediately went into journalism. It was something I really enjoyed. My wife is a pastor. She's an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. And so she went to seminary. She answered the call. My call, I think, is just to do the things that I'm doing now, to use the skills that I've learned over the course of 20 plus years in journalism and now 5 years of communications ministry. And believe me, I'm learning something new all the time, to put those things to use, to help resource churches, to help support pastors wherever they are, and then also to help encourage lay people to get involved as well.
Yeah. You spent 20 years in journalism to moving into the annual conference communicator. What happened in your life to make you make that transition?
There wasn't any one thing. I'm always convinced that God does things that helps us understand where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there. I'd had a successful career. I'd worked my way up the ladder everywhere I went. Once I got into the job, into Gannett, which is USA Today, once I got into that company, I never applied for another job while I was there. I always got recruited for the next job. And so I got to the point where I was an editor of a newspaper for almost 15 years. Things were going pretty well, but my wife and I both felt like we're probably being called somewhere else. Hmm. and the Great Plains had a communications position open, and they were in need of clergy who had, especially with a track record. We went from about 84 in worship to about 320.
Wow.
Now that was over. It was slow and steady, but the good news it was steady, right? So that's over the course of 14 years. But she had been an associate pastor there, and it's probably time for her to lead her own congregation. There's a reality where we were. It's kind of funny. It's hard to believe with United Methodist Churches, but in that conference, the closest United Methodist Church to us was 322 miles away.
Whoa.
We were in the far southwest corner. Now, we weren't that far away from another United Methodist Church. I should say we were that was the distance to the next closest one in our conference.
Okay.
Because if you cross the magical line into Nevada, Las Vegas was only an hour and a half down the road. But the way annual conferences work, as you're aware, it might as well have been on the other side of the moon, right? So, so yeah, I had to go up to the Salt Lake Valley, the closest United Methodist Church. There was one fellowship about an hour and a half north of us, but that was a really tiny group. But the next closest church was that far away. And there's just the reality. We were paying off my wife's seminary bills, and so I needed to keep that job to pay off those bills at the time. And so there really wasn't a way for her to be moved within what was then the Rocky Mountain Conference because the closest place was 300 miles away.
Right.
And so the Great Plains offered that opportunity to both of us for her to move on in her ministry and for me to get more involved in the day-to-day ministry of the conference in this case. And so it was one of those things where when we sat down with this idea, we thought, you know, there's like five or six things that have to happen in order for us to do this.
Yeah.
And every time one of them happened, we're like, oh, that's kind of cool, but there's still five more. Oh, well, that's cool, but there's four more. Oh, wait a minute. Now we're down to two. Well, I guess God was serious about this.
Yeah.
So suddenly we were in Nebraska.
It's funny how things happen that way, isn't it?
Yes.
And tell me about what a conference communicator does, about the work that you do day to day.
Sure. It's for the most part, we all do these things. We are the news gatherers of our conference. So we're responsible for sharing news. In our conference, we look at it as we really have three different constituencies. We have the clergy that we're helping make sure know that there are resources available and when they're available and where they can find them. We need to make sure they understand what's going on with our annual conference or at the general church level, things that are going to impact their lives and their ministries. So that's one audience. Mm-hmm. The next audience would be what we call our dedicated, at least what I call our really dedicated membership. Those are the people that are heavily involved and engaged. They're in worship three or four times a month. When you say the word district to them, they understand what that means. these are folks, I mean, they're basically like the officers of the church, or they're really heavily involved in an organization such as United Methodist Women. They're beyond the show up every now and then type folks. And then we have what I kind of call our nominally engaged or unengaged folks. And that would be people who they show up every now and then to church. They understand what their local congregation is, but not beyond that. Or people who are not part of the local congregation, but they're just part of our communities. And we want to help them understand that the United Methodist Church is where the best theology is located, where we're going to have the most educated of pastors. So we deal with those, with the news gathering and dissemination from that standpoint. All of us then at the annual conference level serve as, you know, basically like the press secretary for the bishop, right? I mean, that's part of what we do. So that's something that we do on a regular basis. And then some of us have just interesting side duties that, you know, come up. Some of the conference communicators also work as, you know, have some assistance like with disaster response. Some work in some areas within programming and some other things. So there's just other duties as assigned that come along the way. And then all of us are responsible for our websites and our newsletters. And then there's that fun thing that happens every year. It's called annual conference. And that's all about anything from preparing slides to making sure worship stuff is done properly so that it appears on the big screens correctly, that live streams go through. And so there has to be a little bit of an IT person inside of each of us, even though that's usually not our primary responsibility.
Right, right. How do you use media as part of your spiritual growth, as part of your spiritual disciplines?
Good question. So I have podcasts that I listen to, as I've said, and some of it's very purposeful. I listen to your podcast, for example.
Thank you.
And that helps me kind of see, shout out to you. We just had this great big clergy gathering that we have every year called Orders and Fellowship, where we talked about assets-based community development and the neighboring movement. And I just heard, you just had an episode I listened to a few days ago that was all about that. And it was fantastic from Ohio, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I shared that with everybody that I knew.
That's cool. Thank you.
But I'll do that. I listen to, for example, I actually live in Lawrence because my wife serves a church here. And it's about 25 miles from Topeka, where our office is located. So my drive to and from work each day, I usually listen to a podcast. So one coming in or maybe finishing in as I'm coming home, or one each way depending upon the length. So there's different things. You know, Church of the Resurrection, I listen to their Sunday sermon one day a week going to and from. It takes that length of time to listen to it all. Mm-hmm. There's a fun podcast called The Bible Binge. If nobody's listened to that, you're missing a real treat. It's told very folksy. It's the Bible basically is looked at as, what if this were a movie, a book, or a television show? And they discuss scripture that way, but it's not sacrilegious. It's they're actually very attuned to making sure they don't do anything totally out of the box that's offensive to anybody. So I listen to those types of things. I read a lot, so I will do my best to read, not necessarily devotional reading. I've tried it, and I just am not good at it.
Yeah, understood. Yep.
And so I will read books, either Bible studies. Right now I'm reading Adam Hamilton's The Walk, just because we're getting ready to do an all-church study on that right now. But I will also listen to things that relate to social justice matters that are of concern to me. So I'm reading a book by Jerry Mitchell, who is a fellow Gannett journalist of mine who is down in Mississippi, who basically wrote the stories that ended up having convictions for people who committed atrocities against African Americans back in the 1960s. But his stories didn't appear until the 1990s.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a great story. And so that's the book I'm reading right now. So I focus on those types of things. And then when it comes to, websites and such, I subscribe to a few things that send me some daily devotion reminders that I'll read on my own. So I'm a media nut, like I said. I do a lot of really, television is the only thing I don't do when it comes to spiritual growth and development. It's just because I haven't found one that I'm really into that helps me with that.
Sure. Sure. Well, I think you may have answered what is usually my last question, which is, what do you do to keep your spirit in shape? Is there something other than those media things that is part of your spiritual disciplines?
You know, for me, really, it's all about teaching those Sunday school classes.
Yeah.
Because I am one that, until I took Disciple Bible Study, I had not read all the way through the Bible myself. Now I've done it 7 times since then. But 20 plus years ago, when I took Disciple 1 for the first time, it really taught me the importance of discipline in my own life to make sure that happens. And it's funny how we go back to our old habits, right? So yeah. As soon as Disciple 1 was done, I quit reading on a daily basis until I took Disciple 2. And then I took Disciple 3. But it took me that long to finally figure out the equation of, dummy, you've got to figure out how to make this something you have to do every day, or else you won't do it. You're just that lazy. So between the Bible study and the podcast for the episodes where I'm doing reflections on the Bible, it forces me at least 4 days a week to not just sit down and read like a chapter. I mean, it's like a half hour or 4 days a week that I have to be reading scripture to be prepared for those things. And so for me, that's been something that's been very helpful to make sure that I am taking care of my spiritual disciplines, at least the scripture component of it, and then letting a lot of the other things kind of branch off of that.
Yeah. Are there advantages to reading like chunks of scripture rather than kind of this typical devotional several verses?
Oh, I'm a real big fan of context and understanding what was going on at the time that the scripture was written. There's a really fantastic book called The Mary Magdalene Never Wore Blue Eyeshadow. And it's written by Amanda Hope Haley. And she has a podcast of her own that's pretty entertaining called The Red-Haired Archaeologist. But she writes a book. The whole purpose of that Mary Magdalene book is to illustrate how sometimes we read into Scripture things that we think but they don't necessarily fit the context of the times in which they were written, so they're probably not true. Mm. And likewise, there's things in the scripture that we just take out. We take out of the scripture, thinking that that must be what it means. But when we don't understand what the culture was of the time, then we don't understand where this all fits in.
Yeah.
So I have two 20-year-olds. I have a 23-year-old and a 20-year-old. So one that's out of school and one who's a junior in college. And it's kind of funny for them. You know, my wife and I will bring up references from the 70s or the 80s. And they just look at us like we're from another planet.
Right.
But that's kind of what we do with scripture, right? Mm-hmm. We'll read something and we'll say, oh, they must mean that because this is what's going on in the world today. Well, maybe, but not necessarily. And so I am kind of a big believer in if you're reading a devotion that's just giving you like one scripture, one verse, maybe read the first few before that and the first few after it to at least kind of get a feel for what the rest of that passage is telling us.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great advice. Thank you so much. And Todd, I've really enjoyed getting a chance to talk to you today and learning about your podcast and some of the wonderful things that you're doing. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity.
That was Todd Seifert, communicator of the Great Plains Conference of the United Methodist Church. To learn more about him or to subscribe to his podcast called In Layman's Terms, go to umc.org/podcasts and look for this episode. We've put links on the page to make it easy to find what you need. My email is also on that page so that you can share with me your thoughts about Get Your Spirit in Shape. Thanks for listening. I'll be back soon with another conversation to help us keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. I'm Joe Iovino. Peace.